It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Obviously, today, the big news coming down from the University of Utah. We were expecting this to come down on Monday, and it never did. Everybody was kind of saying, hey, stand by, and it never happened on Monday afternoon, but yesterday with the election coverage, and then Wednesday was apparently the day that the University of Utah felt it was necessary for...
They're hoping everyone's on vacation. That's what they're hoping for.
The investigation, the internal investigation regarding Morgan Scali and his reinstatement. That's where we start things off right here. It is KSL's Unrivaled, The Cut at 8:05. Let's do it.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so when the news came out that Morgan Scali, so here are the let's play the hits on this before we get to the actual what he said in this teleconference today. Goes from last year's $800,000+ salary to what he was making a couple of years ago at $525,000 a year. But the difference is going to be that he was going to make about $600,000 more than that this year. He was already going to be stepping into over $1 million a year as the defensive coordinator, and had a handshake agreement of him being the next coach in waiting agreement rescinded by the University of Utah as well. Whether or not that's something that's going to end up coming back around if he ends up being the head coach, I could still see him being the head coach of the University of Utah, considering that they reinstated him today. And at the press conference today, Scott, I'm just going to play for you. You haven't heard... We've reported on it all day, but have you heard the actual Morgan
No.
Scali's voice and him talking about it? Well, let me roll it out for you and anybody else who has not heard. This was his very first remarks after Mark Harlan kind of introduced that they would be talking with he and Coach Whittingham and Morgan Scali. It was Morgan Scali's turn to speak, and this is what he had to say as his statement.
My message is simple, but it's sincere, and that is that I am extremely sorry. First and foremost, let me be clear. I am against racism of any kind and am determined to take an active role at the university and in my community in being part of the solution and change. I want to apologize to the young men I have coached and am coaching currently. I had the opportunity to address the full team yesterday morning, and I expressed to them the complete embarrassment I feel for having hurt them and my fellow colleagues in any way. I've reached out to many of my former teammates, players, to offer my apologies, but have not had the opportunity of connecting with all of them. So, gentlemen, if you're listening, I apologize. Excuse me. I apologize. I'm particularly mindful of the young men of color whom I have had the blessing of coaching. I understand that my insensitivity and extreme lack of judgment have caused some, if not all of you, to lose trust and faith in me. I sincerely hope that you will give me the opportunity to gain that trust back.
So look, the first time you heard it.
Yeah. I believe it's sincere. And I believe this was never, ever intended to be a statement of racism from him. I don't think that was his intent ever. I think it was his intent was actually to try to get to fit in, to feel like, hey, I'm one of the fellas. I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the, you know, and I'm
thinking that this is the way to do it.
This
way,
absolutely. So I believe he's sincere about this. I really do. I have no question about that. I just feel that it was actually from him. This like during my time, like they would have meetings about this,
about racial sensitivity,
and how you would talk to people, and I was always this is who I am, right? I'm not going to change who I am, but there's a certain, you know, there's a certain decorum in how you speak to people of other religions, of other in an attempt to be sincere, in an attempt to be respectful, and I don't think Morgan ever thought he wasn't being disrespectful. I really don't. I really think he was in a culture where, hey, you know, I'm fitting in with you guys. I never ever thought this was about racism with him. I don't think he's a racist. I totally agree with it.
It was about him being educated,
he's just kind of dumb about some of the things he's saying. You know, it's just not. Look, you know, we know about, there's just certain ways you talk in certain situations you talk. We know that on the radio. I think you get worried about me saying something crazy on the radio.
I'm worried about it right now.
From time to time, but I don't. I know the line, and I understand there's just certain things you do not say. And I feel so bad for Morgan Scali because this is costly to him in a massive, I mean, financially is one thing. And look,
you're not going to get a lot of sympathy from the public, though.
Yeah, but
I know that was,
Alex,
something that came up pretty
hard.
Quickly.
I know, but you work hard. He, the time you spend as a coach, I mean, he spends a lot of time. I mean, it is not an easy road to be a coach. Not an easy road. And he's now in a position. He's worked really hard to get himself in a position to, one, be a top coordinator in a Power 5 conference that demands over $1 million a year. That's the standard. And now he's way below substandard for his job. And it's all because of a comment. And that's scary. It's really scary.
So then I start to think about it in the sense of, is he being sincere in his apology, or is he upset, or is he really looking at it and going and crying because he's missing out on $500,000 plus of a salary this year?
I think he's upset because you work so hard to get yourself. Not only is he a top defensive coordinator, but he's in a position to be head coach.
Yeah, and now we knew that it was actually more of a deal than we thought.
Right. And whether that comes back or not, it doesn't matter. Right now, it's not there.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
And this is a serious deal. It's a really serious deal that you can't just brush it under the rug.
See, that was a part I got a little bit. There were parts of Kyle Whittingham's comments that were just like, yep, ready to move forward, ready to get into practices. And some of that I went, maybe let's not do that in this meeting about like, hey, let's just move on past this. We're ready to move on past this and just go right to practices. It's like, look, today's not about practice. Today's not about the 2020 season. It's about trying to right a wrong. And even if it was, and I do think it's different than like cultural and systematic problems that some programs are having across the country.
Right.
I think it is way more related to what you're talking about, a guy who was unfamiliar culturally, I think, with how to speak with some of these players. And I think that there is a level of love that this guy has. We've got more stuff to listen to from this, and when we come back, I want to bring that up. I want to talk about your experience in locker rooms too, because I think it's important for people to know how different it is and how different it can be, and how it's not just a one way deal. That sometimes we see racism on both sides in a locker room, and how it can divide a locker room, and how difficult those things can be as players and as coaching staffs, and what has to change. And what has to be different now going forward in college football or in locker rooms in the NFL overall? And the NFL's been dealing with this for years. You were doing these racial sensitivity trainings in the early 90s
right.
in the NFL. This is something that has to be done in college locker rooms now. Now. And you're certainly going to see it at the University of Utah. Stay with us. More to go. It is KSL's Unrivaled on KSL's News Radio. Stay with us.
I've taught my players never to make excuses or point the finger when owning their actions. And I'm adhering to that same advice. I own up to my past conduct and accept fully the consequences of that conduct. I'm committed to learning from this and becoming a better person, father, husband, mentor, and coach. Thank you.
You're going to see, I think, a wake-up call for a lot of these programs across the country that listen to the comments of Coach Morgan Scali today, who was reinstated. I think that we were all – I wasn't surprised he was reinstated. We had heard for a while that the rumblings that that might be the case. But welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us today. The teleconference with Athletic Director Mark Harlan, Utah's head football coach Kyle Whittingham, and now reinstated defensive coordinator Morgan Scali, who takes a massive pay cut, more than half of what he was going to be earning this year as a new salary in his new long-term deal, has now been cut to $525,000 a year, as opposed to the $1.1 he was going to be getting. Plus, this is no longer a multi-year deal, Scott. This is a one-year deal. This is the makeup time, right?
They're basically saying, look, you know, you're not getting all that money. You don't deserve that. You've dis-earned that.
Right.
And that's hard because you go a long way to, you know, to build up to that. But they want to see, okay, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do moving forward? It's like, okay, great, you make an apology, but is your conduct, is the way you interact with people, is the way you coach, the way you're an example, the way you lead people, the way you deal with this issue, what are you going to do about it? You know, because they talked about him going to these diversity, within the university and understanding how to work with diverse cultures and races and all that stuff. And if you go in there with this attitude of like, oh, do I really have to be here? And I'm just doing this because it's just because I'm required to, and you're really not changing behavior and a mindset, then yeah, this could be a problem in the future. I think it's I think the problem is really complex, Alex. The solution to it, I don't think it's just, hey, let's listen to each other.
Let's have a couple of mandatory meetings on racial sensitivity.
No, or don't say that word anymore.
Right.
Because everyone's caught up in a word. And it's like, if we don't say that word, then we're not, you know, then we're not racist anymore.
But the reality is you haven't learned much.
The problem's much bigger than
right.
that. The thing I believe is people need to be authentic. They really need to be who they are. If Morgan Scali really wants to understand these people, he needs to be authentic to them. You know how it was is when you played sports and you had coaches that were real, or teachers or people, and they were authentic and they were real. Those were the ones you loved the most, because
and you could sniff out the fake guys
in two
too.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Right. And I guarantee you, him talking like this from day one to those players, they're like, this guy is a fool. You know, he's not. I'm just telling you.
They'd roll their eyes, and I think a lot of times they wouldn't say anything or report anything because they just went. And this goes back to our conversation we had about winning being the most important thing.
Right.
About people saying, at whatever cost, if it's burying whatever a coach says, if it's you pretending like the coach didn't say that and just working through it. What are we reading from this last week? That one of Iowa's former running backs was treated terribly, and that there was, according to him, systematic racism at the University of Iowa playing in the football program for a couple of decades while the head coach has been there, and his kid, who was the offensive coordinator. And I mean, the stories were sad, and then you sit there and you go, okay, what are we talking about here? So where did that start? How did that become okay? And why has nobody said anything now? I think now people start to feel comfortable when they go, and I probably should have said something, so that another kid doesn't suffer, so that another person doesn't hear this.
Think about when you were coached by someone.
But you put it down at the moment so you can just be like, shut up, I just want to go win.
No question about that.
Yeah.
But think about how that coach was. They were yelled at. They were, you know, they were berated.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. Or they don't really know how to coach, so they're just going to scream and yell at you and, right. And break
it's like
you down.
It's like someone doing the same thing that their dad did to them,
right?
You know,
it's that cycle of violence or that cycle of whatever it is,
yeah.
And it certainly plays into it. It certainly plays into this situation. To me, I think it's really a really simple but effective solution to gain someone's trust is. Morgan Scalley goes and says, "How can I serve you? How can I just not be your coach, but how can I really how can I help you out in your right. life in a way and that way because I believe that's the fastest way to gain someone's trust. And it's not like, you know, all these apologies, all these things, but to just very very humbly, very very forthright, just go, how can I really get to know you? And who was really good at this? Lavelle Edwards. Lavelle Edwards was so good at getting to know people.
Really?
That's what made him great, is that he understood and he cared about them as individuals. He knew their names. He knew everything about them. And I'm sure Morgan Scalley probably tries to do this. I'm not saying he doesn't. But if you really take the time to care about people, to know what's going on in their life, and not just say, "Oh, that's great," but to actually show up, you know, show up in the. They talked about Tom Landry and players who were injured and who no one cared about, and he shows up in the hospital because he's concerned, because that's what these leaders do, is they serve the people that they're leading, and I really believe that. I'm not going to say all great coaches, but a lot of them. And a lot of great leaders are all about serving the people that they're entrusted to lead.
At one point, the apology turned to the fans and to, you know, students at the University of Utah. I mean, it's been a rough year and a half, you know,
right.
for the University of Utah, considering the McCluskey case and now this. I mean, the administration at this school has gone through a lot, and the students have gone through a lot, you know, in terms of feeling safe or feeling like a place that's and trying to convince people to come to the school, because the recruiting thing came up. I don't want to get into that right now, but what I do want to get into is how do you start that, or how do you get the fan base to go along with the fact that they, because the worst people that show up at the end of all this are the vocal dirtbag minority, you know, that comes out and goes, "Yeah, right. I think he was just telling the truth," you know, and you hear more racism start to come out, yeah. and you know that don't represent who the people are. And I guess we should try to ignore that, but at the same time, it's like you see so much divisiveness in among a fan base or in people who are pointing and laughing at Utah and going, "How are you going to deal with this?" And now there's going to be a lot of backlash about trying to recruit guys to come to your school. Sitting down, and Coach Whittingham was quick to point out, hey, 51 out of the 57 guys that Morgan Scalley has signed himself to come to the school have been minorities. And you go, well, we know that because he knows how to – and today they're signing guys. Minority guys are coming to the school today who have signed with the University of Utah. Why? Because they're not – I think they know there's not a culture of racism. But the other thing is they want to go to a place where they have an opportunity to really play at a high level. It's that winning at all costs type of a thought and an idea. I don't know what is going to come out of this long term. If this is just going to be another one of those press conferences that just go, "Thank you so much. We're looking to move forward on all this, and we look forward to football season, getting back into practice. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here today. See you later." You know, no more questions. And I think that it's a bigger problem than that. It's a bigger – because Morgan Scalley's not a problem. There are actual racists that surround all of these players that they have to deal with in the fan base. Maybe there's some of their teammates, things like that. And I just don't know how to go forward for the school. I mean, count yourself lucky at some of these other schools where this stuff hasn't come out yet. I mean, or you need it to come out, or I don't know. I don't know how you're supposed to address this as a coaching staff if you just pretend like it didn't happen.
Certainly there's an awareness to it, and I think actually having this COVID virus where everything slowed down, where there's a lot more time to discuss things like this and to really kind of delve into them and deal with it.
It's probably helped. Yeah.
It's probably helped, because normally it would. You'd have this conversation, and the pace of our life, it would just go away. And I think people are trying to say, look, this isn't going away. This is a real issue, and we need to deal with it. And hopefully this is the start of being able to deal with it, because you're I don't know if it goes away or not, but hopefully we'll hopefully maybe someone like Morgan Scali can make it turn this into a positive thing.
I'm certain that he's going to change a lot of how he operates now. Anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the show. When we return, we've got other things to discuss today. Plus, we've got our 2-minute drill coming up, so stay with us. Boy, we're into July already. What's that mean for getting back to practices, back to the NBA?
July is the start of sports in the world. Come on.
Yeah, here we are, getting back into it.
Baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah, hopefully all of it starts back up again. Stay with us, more to go. It is KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
You know, I like everyone, Alex. Always have.
Oh, you do?
I
you
really
like
do.
Everyone.
I like everyone.
I know that's not true.
Well,
I could throw two or three names out there of guys that used to coach you that's not true.
It's a different kind of dislike, okay?
Okay.
It's a professional dislike.
It's professional hatred.
Okay, I'm gonna throw someone under the bus right now.
Okay, what is it going to be?
This is bad, but it's funny. Chad Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I had Chad on Helmets Off.
Right. Associate Athletic Director for BYU, former tight end for the Eagles and for BYU. Yes, we all know who he is.
So Chad, I asked him this question, and I says, what is your one takeaway in life? And he goes, it's to love everybody. And I said, so even the Utah fans, do you love them? And he goes, well, that's not fair. That's a different thing.
So it's like when somebody goes, I don't have any favorite children. And you go, except for that one. You go, yeah, no, he's pretty good. But I'm saying, after him.
Do you have favorite children?
Oh, for sure. Listen, the up for grabs is 2 through 5. And this is a living list. You can always improve. This is a ranking system. My siblings and I had this. My siblings and I had the same thing going on when we were younger. We would rank each other. We'd be like, oh, you're probably like number 2 right now. That's pretty good. You know, you'll never surpass this guy. So my brother got a football scholarship. It was like he's paying for his own college. He's playing football like dad did. And it was like he's number 1. And then, things start to change a little bit. Then my sister has twins at one point. And, man, she kind of started rocketing up the list. And
so I went from first to worst.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard to beat the NFL, right?
Right.
So I was the golden
child. So you had to hold that standard for a long time.
And the only boy, right?
Oh,
so
it was even, see?
Yes, and the youngest, right? I had number one. I locked in number one as long as Tiger Woods was number one in the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I retired from football.
Oh, and then things start to.
Well, and I wrote a book. And
and then what? Did you kind of throw mom and dad under the bus or something?
My mom was like, she was not happy about
it. She's like, why don't you just go ahead and maybe call us on Thanksgiving?
Yeah. In fact, there are 4 of us, and I wasn't even on the top 4.
There's some days that I feel like that for sure. 575-00 is a text number you can
weigh
in.
So I don't love everyone. I'm sorry.
Right. But there's at least. Scott is.
I'm working on it, okay?
But you're a guy who makes a lot of effort. And that's what I think that anytime that you're like there's a friendship, a relationship you're trying to, make sure and try to maintain, there's that two-sided thing where you have to just – the effort makes a lot. You talked about serving others, right? You talked about – Lavelle Edwards was the first one to be like, I'm going to help – what can I do to help you? And that's how all of these relationships end up working is when somebody goes, puts the phone down and goes, what can I do? I want to help you, So
Ron McBride's kind of cut out of the same. I mean,
same
his
thing.
Players
yeah, yeah.
love him.
Yeah.
So many people. I mean, they're just.
And he knows their names still.
Phenomenal.
My father-in-law played for Lavelle Edwards in his first, couple seasons, first few years at BYU. And he's from there. And he also, Lavelle Edwards was his dad's roommate up at Utah State, too. So they had all these connections. And he grew up in Provo. Anyway, they have all these connections. And, even in the last few years of his life, I mean, he could come up and talk to him, and it was just like picking up where you left off, with the guy who is probably a number one on the Mount Rushmore of coaches here in the state of Utah, yeah. right? And maybe even sports figures in the state of Utah. And that's saying a lot considering that we have, you know, an NBA franchise here and some pretty good history there. And I just think, you know, you don't fake that. You can't fake that because people call you out, especially now. You get called out and you go, yeah, he wasn't a good guy at all or whatever. So, you know, watching people go through, you know, seeing what Morgan Scalley went through today with the press conference, he was right to say, you know, somebody, I think Dirk Facer from the Deseret News asked him, he said, you know, how rough has this last few weeks been? And he gave the exact right answer. He goes, my like suffering, quote unquote, through all this is nothing compared to what I've put people through. You know, the bad feelings that I've had people have had toward me, the things I've said, and, you know, not knowing how to fix that. That's a hard thing, or being embarrassed about it. And it was like, it was kind of a weird question. It was just like, well, who cares? No one. And me, being a person who's never earned $800,000 and have to have it cut down to $525,000 a year, I think most of us would look at that and go, okay, big whoop. You still have your job, man. I mean, a lot of people think that. You have a little bit of a smiley face because, you know, the first thing you said to me today was, did you see how much he's losing on this deal? Because it's not just the $600,000 for this year in a multi-term deal or multi-year, you know, term. It's also the fact that he was the next Kyle Whittingham. He's the next head coach at Utah football. And now that's not even close to guaranteed.
Do you know what's eating him up right now? I guarantee you this.
What is it?
More than anything, more than money, anything, is that he has zero credibility.
He has to start fresh
with everyone.
Fan base, just students.
Everyone. And that's hard. That's hard. That in a very short period of time, in one moment, in one sentence, in one word, it's just it all goes kaput. And so that's just when trust is such a hard thing to gain and such an easy thing to lose. And when that trust is gone, it's hard to get it back. And it's hard to be on the other side of it where you go, I'm trying so hard, right. You know, and I just. You know, you're not going to believe anything I say or whatever. And that's not a comfortable place to be.
His contract ends January 31st of 2021. So 6 months away.
Well, I think we're all excited to get out of 2020. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
True.
Like, I'm just sitting here going, 2021, that sounds like a lot better situation than right now.
You know
now.
What? We're all Can in we a just, one-year deal yeah. kind of right now. So – But what is February 1st of 2021 bring then for Morgan Scalley, do you think? Is that when another multi-year deal shows up again?
It's probably a slow build-up again. I mean, I just don't see him going through this year and everyone going, okay, great.
Here's your million a year now.
I think it's like, man, maybe we should go on another 1 year and just kind of see how we're progressing and see where we are from this year. That's what I mean. That
because you're still going to get a guy coaching his tail off. Yeah. I mean, trying to prove himself.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy that will, you know, he'll do whatever he has to do. But he's in a tough spot when you've lost everyone's trust. The universities, everyone, these players, the fans, everything. That's a tough place to be in.
What's Utah going to end up looking like? I mean, after all this? Because on a national stage, they were going to get criticized either way, right? You let him go, and a guy who's such a good guy, right? We heard that the whole time, and we know that he is a good guy. I mean, like, I think that there's not anybody who would think to themselves that he has some sort of, like, sinister side to him, but more along the lines of somebody who is maybe just less educated about how to direct these or address these players. But if they didn't let him go, which so many people were calling for his head, right? Somebody needed to get fired over this. And because he didn't, does Utah suffer for that? Not just in recruiting, but being able to have that, you know, image-wise around the rest of the country.
I don't think...
Because, you know, in the recruiting, think about the other coaches. Look, USC's against you, and they're going to say, you know what they have there, Utah, right? That racist defensive coordinator. That's exactly what they're working against now.
Yeah, but you could spin that into a very positive thing. Because he's like, look, I've come clean. You know, our commitment here is to create a culture of inclusion and one where you can feel safe. And, you know, we're not hiding behind anything. We recognize that this is a real issue and we're here to address it. We're here to create an environment where you can flourish wherever you are. And you look at Utah's makeup, and Kyle Whittingham talks about this a lot, that he says, I, by design, have a culturally diverse program. I have a certain percentage of Polynesian players, a certain percentage of Black players, and a certain percentage of white players, and it's evenly balanced. And he recognizes that is a healthy environment to flourish. And so it's, you know, so race and the cultural diversity of his program is important. And it'll be a hard thing for people to knock that, you know, because this is Utah's not a racist program, and this could be a very good thing moving forward to kind of address it, you know. And it's out of the closet, it's there, it's open. Let's talk about it. Deal with it.
2 minute drills next. We're going to come back and wrap things up on the program on a day where Morgan Scali has the teleconference with everybody to apologize, and Utah announces his reinstatement as a defensive coordinator. We've got more to go here. We'll wrap things up next right here on KSL's Unrivaled and KSL News Radio. Okay, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Curie and Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us. And Scott, today is July 1st, which of course means, one, that we've gotten into July. It's still into that some mild weather. You know, I'm not...
So you know, really quick.
Yeah.
You're not one of the people I hate, just so you know.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
I just want to...
You said at the beginning, I don't hate anybody. And then I was like,
there's a couple people.
I can write down. There's a short list of at least people I know.
You're not on my list.
Okay.
No.
That's good to know. If you want to know if you're on Scott Mitchell's hated short list, text us 57500. In the meantime, we got to get to that all important part of the program here where we wrap things up. It's been a big day today, of course. Scott, what does that music at the end of the show here mean?
It's the 2 minute drill. Music is what it means, and it means that we got to hurry up and finish the show and finish it strong. We have a lot to talk about, not a lot of time to talk, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things, and we finish the show and win the day.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
So here we go. I wanted to bring this one up here real quick because you pointed it out that Trey Anderson, who is a big commit from Lehigh High School for BYU.
He's a preferred walk-on commit.
Yeah.
His dad played at BYU.
And here's the deal. So
I know his dad. He's a good
decommitted from BYU as a preferred walk-on to a scholarship offer at Pitt. And here's the thing about BYU. I'll just say they try to negotiate guys' interests because a lot of guys are like people like Trey Anderson who are like, my dad played here. And they say, hey, right now we don't have a lot of scholarships to be able to offering people. And tight end is a deep position at BYU. And so they've offered him this. They offered him the preferred walk-on status. And then since he's been on his mission, he's gotten other offers that have come in from Power Five programs. So he took Pitt's offer. I'm happy for this kid. Because you deserve a scholarship if you're good enough for it. And, yeah, Pitt isn't BYU because maybe you don't have very many ties there. You didn't play there. But how cool would it be to go to Pittsburgh, take a full scholarship, play tight end there, and play in the ACC your whole you're in a Power 5 program. You're at a Power 5 conference. And while it might be not necessarily the strongest school in the strongest conference, hey, I like
you're
this.
You're in the conference.
I'm okay for this. Kid.
Actually, if there was one school and you were a tight end that you wouldn't be okay with it, it would be BYU. BYU has had a long.
I mean, it's even
better than their quarterback history at this point. So years of these tight ends.
That's what I said.
Would have been phenomenal.
Mitch Harper, BYU's insider for KSLSports.com. I was talking to him about this last week. Matt Bushman is probably an NFL guy, right. And he goes. And honestly, probably a more well-rounded, just doesn't have as much of experience, is this Isaac Rex guy, whose dad also played tight end at BYU. He's like awesome, and this guy is going to be amazing. So you've got this long list of amazing tight ends. Plus, if you're Trey Anderson and you see, hey, I've got a bunch of guys in front of me that are going to still be playing. We've got a lot of tight ends.
When your dad's an offensive lineman. His dad was an offensive lineman, and they go, well, you may play defensive end, you may play offensive tackle, you may play tight end. Where he goes to a school where they go, you are a tight end. That's probably the thing that was the tipping point. As opposed to just being an athlete, we'll put you somewhere.
Well, good for him. I thought it was cool. Scott, next up on the list here, I wanted to bring something up here for you. It's July 1st, which of course means it's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Of course, everyone knows
for
that.
For the New York Mets. Now, this is an annual thing that if you're not familiar with, deferred payments are one of these interesting things in sports that can look really, really amazing. You remember the, what was it, the... It was the old UFL, or who was it? It was the Donald Trump's football league that he was part of. The USFL. Remember that whole thing that they had guaranteed Steve Young a bunch of payments until like 2030 or something like that? And, they folded, and obviously he's not seeing that money, and he's still fine. But those deferred payments actually do happen at some point for real players, like Bobby Bonilla, who played a long career in Major League Baseball, and it ended in... It ended in 2012, and since between 2011 and 2035, which is for the next 15 years, Bobby Bonilla on July 1st every year from the New York Mets receives $1.2 million as part of this deferred payment thing. You're shaking your head because to have that kind of amazing stability to get $1.2 million every year for the next 30 years.
Publisher's Clearinghouse.
It's like the weirdest pension ever, right? I mean, this plus he's got a pension.
Right.
I mean, he has an actual Major League Baseball pension, but he gets that over... Here's what it says. Bonilla's contract became an obvious and, to be fair, hilarious punchline over the years. While in 2013, he earned more from the Mets than any of the outfielders on that roster. He was 50 years old and had been out of the game for 6 years. And that has been the deal. He hit really well between 92 and 95. Like, his sweet spot was between 92 and 2000. Yes.
Here's the thing. I think what's hard is that he's not there, and you're still playing.
Yeah, you're paying
again. That just hurts. But when it's a smaller amount, I don't want to minimize $1 million. There is some leverage, it gives the team flexibility to go out and do other things as opposed to just being put in, held up for a king's ransom for this massive deal. I mean, it's a hard thing.
So the whole thing was they've been ridiculed about this. But financial strategists are like, this is a smart move.
It's not a bad move.
Yeah. Because you're able to immediately have a cash flow at those moments. And the Mets were actually the year that they signed this contract. And they were able to say, hey, we're loosening up this money and it's going to get deferred to you between 2011 and 2035. They were actually able to buy more guys onto that roster. And they made the World Series back in 2000. Remember, this is the Subway Series year. So that was it was one of those deals that... It looked like a dumb deal. They were able to make picks in the draft, too, that ended up being guys for them that have turned out to be really sweet spots.
Most players end up getting bankrupt. This protects him from actually himself, more than likely.
Right.
Where it's like, you can't have it all right now, so you can't spend it all. We're just going to give it to you. It's like a trust fund. We're going to just control the amount of money. So it's not a bad thing for any player to do this, actually.
Funny would it be to be Bobby Bonilla every July 1st? There'd be a party. I would have a party every year at my house. My house would be a party every year. We would have, we'd get...
I thought about doing
this. I'd get the nice Walmart steaks. You know what I mean?
Not the value pack. You can get
the chub pack of steaks.
Certified Angus beef.
It's in quotes.
It's got the sticker on it.
It's in quotes. Angus. It's spelled with two U's. I'm just saying, I'm trying to figure out what... The funny thing is the Mets had to come to him and tell him, we're not paying you all this money up front. What if we were to give it to you after your career was over? And it was guaranteed $1.2 million. There's that side of you that goes, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in 2035, man. He's going to be 71 years old by the time they're done paying him off. That's kind of, there's that weird part of you that goes, yeah, but don't you want that money right now when you're 50? When you're 54? Let's go.
I'd take $1 million a year.
I know you would. Of course you would. It's like when you're a 16-year-old and you go, I'd drive a Honda Accord. It's like, of course you would because you don't have one.
A Honda Accord.
That's what I'm saying. When you're a 16-year-old, you're like, I would take that car. It's like, of course you would. You have nothing. I don't get the $1 million. When are we going to start having your NFL pension parties? Let's start doing those.
Well, when I'm old enough to receive
them. When's that going to be? When can we start having these parties?
Okay, what's nice about it? See, I want everyone to calm down because we need this our economy to stay on track here.
So Scott can have his parties, man.
My pension went up significantly.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes.
Well, listen. We're gonna be back again tomorrow. We'll have another show for you right before the 4th of July holiday. So
hey, I'm happy to celebrate with you on my pension. Just so you
okay,
know.
We're gonna do
whatever,
it.
Yeah,
we're gonna do it. I'll buy the nice Walmart steaks.
You know that.
We're coming back tomorrow. We'll see you then. Anything you want to get on the show that you weren't able to listen to, download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. Go to KSLSports.com. Click on the podcast button and find our good-looking mugs on there. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll see you tomorrow.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.